feels like Brother Joe or Brother Ronnie takes it in Sunday school, but it's a little different than what they had, but it's out of the book of John. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me at this time to John chapter 13. And I want to begin in John chapter 13. I want to read verses 36 down to chapter 4, verse 11. And then we'll make our message. So when you find your place, if you would, please stand with me as we read the Word of God. The Bible tells us, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak unto not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father, for your precious word. Lord, open our understanding to it this morning as we dig into it, Father. May you speak to each of our hearts individually, speak to us collectively as a body of Christ, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would just let yourself be known in a very real way to us today, that we may know you, Father, in a way that is so intimate. Your faithfulness is ever before us, and we're grateful for your faithfulness and for your love and mercy. We pray all this in Christ's precious name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever had someone take a look at you and say, that's easy for you to say? I have heard that my whole life from one person or another. That's easy for you to say. And that's not always a good thing to hear from somebody when you're going through a difficult time and they just look at you and say, well, that's easy for you to say. Or you look at somebody and you're trying to help them through a difficult time, and they're trying to explain what's going on, and you may say to them, that's easy for you to say. Because, you know, life's not easy no matter what side of the fence you're on. The life is just not easy. We need to understand that some of the things that Jesus is talking about here, I want you to keep that thought in mind, that's easy for you to say. Because there's a lot of troubled hearts in the world today. And I think it's a lot due, I believe, to the church. I think it's the church's fault that our world is in the shape that it's in. I've said that all along, and I'll say that time and time again. And I have to look in the mirror every day. When I get up out of bed, I have to look in the mirror. And shame on that mirror, but I have to look in it every day. And I have to ask myself a question every day. What did I do yesterday for the Lord? Did I help somebody with a troubled heart? Did I help someone get through their day yesterday? Well, we need to understand that when Jesus sets some seemingly impossible standards before us. You know, it's hard to be a Christian in today's world. It is difficult. It is very, very difficult in today's world. The Christians is under attack like we've never been for a long, long time. And they're going to continue to attack us, especially if we stand for what is right. And there's going to be troubled hearts, and those hearts have to be comforted somehow. And the disciples' hearts at this point were very troubled. And that's why Jesus started out in verse 1 of chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." But life is filled with troubling events and possibilities that are far beyond anything that we can even begin to change. I don't know how people do it in this world without the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. I don't know how they do it without the Holy Spirit. I don't even want to get out of bed in the morning without first praying every single day, asking God to place His armor about me to get me from one day to the next. But the disciples here, they were being forced to deal with issues that were beyond the ability of their full comprehension. They couldn't understand what they were getting ready to go through. And for about 6 months now, up to this point, Jesus was warning them. He'd been talking to them about His suffering, what He was going to go through. And He was talking about His death, that He had to die, and about His resurrection, that He was going to raise again after the 3 days. And the disciples, they couldn't wrap their mind about that, because they were not in the spiritual thinking at that point, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come and lived within their hearts. So the disciples struggled with the implications of what Jesus was saying and teaching, because what he was saying and teaching, it didn't fit their thought of what the Messiah was going to be. They thought that Jesus was going to one day just jump up on the throne of Jerusalem and make all their problems go away, that He would overthrow the Roman kingdom, and that Jesus would set Himself up at that point there on the throne in Jerusalem and start to rule and reign and make peace throughout the entire world. Well, that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the plan. And Jesus was trying to get that through their head by letting them know that, hey, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. But on that third day, I will raise again. And it was difficult for them to understand that. So now they're here in this upper room at this point in the book of John. And Jesus revealed that one of the 12 was going to betray Him. And He said, one of you all are going to be my betrayer. And He even told them, you know, the person that I hand the piece of bread to, that's the one that's going to betray me. And it's kind of strange how things work out. Sister Linda asked me about Judas before Sunday school, and Brother Joe talked about Judas in Sunday school. And I'm sitting there, and I looked at my wife. I said, "There goes my message," you know. but that's okay, because there's important things that God obviously wants us to know. And because God works in mysterious ways. But anyway, they're there in that upper room, and He just told them that somebody was going to betray Him. It would be one of the 12. And He also told them that His body would be broken, that His blood would be shed, and that He was about to leave them and go away. And in their mind, life without Jesus was unthinkable. They just spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ on this earth as their Messiah, their leader. And these men who had given up everything to follow Him could not understand, why would He leave us at this point? Why would He leave us? And Luke revealed that one of the reasons of the disciples could not stay awake, and I think Brother Joe mentioned this morning as well when he opened his Sunday school lesson. But, you know, we often think, you know, we want to judge those who were with Jesus. And that's the last thing we can do, because we didn't walk in their shoes. So there's that old saying, don't judge another unless you've walked a mile in their shoes. But I wasn't there at that time. I don't know what they were going through. When I got saved at the age of 7, I immediately began to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and I was able to understand a little bit more about spiritual things than those who do not have the Spirit of God living within them. But Luke here reveals in Luke chapter 22, verse 45, he revealed why it was so hard for these disciples to stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane, because you remember Jesus went a distance from them. He knelt down and he prayed to his heavenly Father. And then in Luke 12:45, it says, "And when he rose up," speaking of Jesus, "from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow." Have you ever been so sorrowful or so brokenhearted that you just fall asleep? You know, they say that depression, that's what depression does. When a person is depressed, you can always tell if a person is depressed because they sleep all the time. They fall asleep and they don't want to wake up. And these disciples were so sorrowful in the garden that they could not stay awake. They were wore out. They were just tired. And Jesus understood what they were going through because he said to them in John 16:6, he said that because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Their hearts were so sorrowful because they knew that Jesus was about to die. He told them. And then the story like Joe told it this morning there, when they came to get Jesus with all these men and soldiers with spears and everything, and they Jesus said, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus just said, I am he. The word he is in italics. If you look at it in your Bibles, it's italicized, so it wasn't actually in the original. He just said, I am. And what happened at that point was amazing. When he said, I am, that entire multitude of people fell backwards. That's all he had to say was, I am. That is the power of our God. Amen. Don't ever think for one minute that Jesus Christ does not have power to get you through no matter what your problems are. He will get you through those problems no matter what. And we live in a troubled world, folks. And I'm telling you right now, people need Jesus. And there is no better time in my thinking to be alive than right now. Because if you look out into the fields of this world, you'll see that it is white for the harvest. And we have a commission that we have to meet, folks. We got to get out into the field of Proctorville, Ohio, and Huntington, West Virginia. All around us, we need to get out in the field with the gospel, because it's like it says on that door, over those both of those door exits back there, you are now entering the mission field. We've got a responsibility. There are people out there who are hurting. They have troubles in their life, and what they need above everything else is they need Jesus Christ. They need to know him, and it's our responsibility to make him known to a world that needs our Savior. We've already got him if you're saved today. If you've got Jesus in your heart today, if there was ever a time that you accepted him into your life, you've already got that. You've got that peace that Jesus talks about. And so I want to share three things with you today that we can do that will help us to deal with a troubled heart. Because, when I went through this message, I've been trying to figure out what God wanted me to talk about today. And I just thought, that there's that one song that I've sang a few times here at the church. And one of the phrases in it is this troubled heart of mine. So I just put on the top of my page this troubled heart of mine, because we've all got troubles in our life. We have troubles in our hearts, and we've got problems in our lives that we have to deal with every single day. And there's people out there that they don't have Jesus like we do to be able to sit down at the feet of Jesus and let him speak to us in a special way. Folks, people need Jesus. And this world is a mess. I mean, it is probably in the worst mess that I can remember since I've been born. It's a disaster out there. And we've got a responsibility. And we need to make sure we fulfill that responsibility as best we can. And we got to do it without a troubled heart. The world don't need to see the troubles in my heart, because those are the things that I need to take before God Almighty, because I have that privilege. That privilege to be able to do that. So one of the things I want to point out of how to deal with a troubled heart is we need to remember that there is a difference between now and later. There is a huge difference between right now and later, folks. And Jesus told his disciples over in John 13:33, he said, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, he's going to go away. And he knew that. And he told him and he warned him that he was going to go away. But the great thing of it is, he didn't leave them comfortless, folks. And then down in John 13:36, he says the same thing. He says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, I have to say this. We all got Peter in our, we all got a little bit of Peter in every one of us. Anybody that says we don't want to judge Peter, because I'm telling you, we've all got a little bit of Peter. Peter was, he was that strong-headed individual that, like Joe mentioned this morning, he was the first one to draw the sword out when they came to get Jesus, and he cut off one of their ears. And this is the thing that blows my mind, and I don't know why that whole crowd didn't get saved. But Jesus picks up the man's ear and he puts it on his head, and it stays. It's like it never happened. What a Savior. I mean, if the world could only see. If the world could only see, folks, and we've got that responsibility to take that kind of news out to a world who needs Jesus more than anything. And if we can't see that, then we need to back up. And we need to ask God to change our hearts and our minds and make us more like Christ. And when we look out into the world, we need to see that field that is so white for the harvest. It's time to go out and pick, folks. It's time to take the gospel out to the world. And we've got to do that. But he says here, it says, Simon Peter said unto him in John 13:36, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward or later. In other words, you can't go with me right now, Peter, but you will follow me later. So we need to remember that there is a difference between the now and the laters. And Peter responded to that in John 13:37. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. You know, we can say that all day long. But put yourself in Peter's shoes. When he saw his Savior drug off, and they came up and they bound the hands of Jesus. And Jesus didn't have to accept that, but he let them bind his hands. He was God. He was the creator of the entire universe, folks. And they bound the hands of their creator. And Jesus just stood there and he let them do it. And you know why he did it? Because he loves every one of you. Every single one of you. Jesus loved you that much that he allowed himself to be taken, to be scourged, to be made fun of, mocked, beat upon, a crown of thorns on his head. He allowed himself to be crucified. And he did not die. He gave up the ghost, folks. Jesus gave up that ghost. And when he gave up that ghost, he left that physical body and that body died. And when they came around to Jesus and they stuck that spear in his side and out blushed water and blood both, he wasn't no longer in that body, folks. When he said it's finished, he meant the work of salvation was done. The work of salvation was done. And Jesus, some people ask, well, you know, why did it have to happen that way? Well, that was God's plan. Jesus was the only one perfect enough that could lay down his life for the sins of the entire world. Think about that. And that bothered Jesus more than anything. But we've got to remember, folks, that there's a difference between now and later. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell him. So Peter didn't understand that the difference between now and later was a great work that needed to be accomplished throughout the life of Peter. So there's a now, and that's what Peter needed to understand. You cannot come with me right now, because Jesus was saying, you've got a work to do. The reason you're in this auditorium today, every one of you, there's one reason, because God's not done with you. God has a plan for your life. If you're able to sit in your pew right now and breathe in and out, and God has given you breath to live on this world, he has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your life, and you need to find out what that plan is, folks. It took me 60 years to figure out God wanted me to stand behind a pulpit and preach and pastor a church. But God led me here after 60 years. My wife and I had been missionaries. I'd been a deacon in church. God took me a long way around the world to get me right here in Proctorville, Ohio. I mean, and I never could understand that. But that was the now. And this is still the now. And later, when God is done with me, that later or afterwards, when my work is done, I'm going to be with him in heaven throughout eternity, and nothing can change that. And if that doesn't excite me, then there's something wrong with me. And if you don't get excited about the fact, you got to know the difference between the now and later. But Paul expanded on that in the truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, for which cause we faint not, speaking of the cause that he was working, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, the light affliction, folks, what we're going through is nothing compared. Our troubles are nothing in comparison to what Jesus suffered, that we may have eternal life through him. He called it a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Folks, we have to take our eyes off of this world once in a while and put them up into the heavens and look at our Savior and what He did for us and remember that we have eternal life through His precious blood that was shed on the cross there at Calvary. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, thinking of spiritual matters, for the things which are seen are temporal. They're just here today, folks. This is the now. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Those things are eternal, folks. We live in the now. We don't understand the things of eternity. I can't even begin to stand up here and tell you how beautiful heaven is. The Bible gives us a small picture of it. I can't understand eternity. But I can tell you this, my mom and dad are in eternity right now with my Heavenly Father. And if you've lost a loved one, if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, then that's where they're at now. They're in heaven with they're in the afterwards because their life was done on this earth. And when God says your life is done on this earth, then that's where you're going to go. If you have Jesus in your life, if you do not have Jesus in your life today and you leave this world, folks, you're not going to be in the presence of God. You're going to go to a place called hell. And folks, that's a place of torment. Thank God that Jesus talked about the now and the afterwards to His disciples. And they were able to take that and share it to a world. But He says, for a Christian, now is temporal, but later is forever, folks. For afterwards is forever. When your work on this earth is done, you will go to the presence of God, and there you will spend eternity as long as you've accepted Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, folks, there's a place called hell, and it's an ugly place. That will be your afterwards. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ and you're part of Abundant Life Baptist Church, then folks, we've got a job to do. We've got to get out in the mission field and we've got to take that gospel to people. We got to. I don't care if it's a gospel tract. I want to see those gospel tract racks back there empty. Folks, we need to get rid of them tracks and get some new ones in here because they're still sitting back there. And you know what? Let's get them out there. Take them out. You don't have, even if you don't see anybody, you can lay them down. My wife and I got to go early in the morning to where are we going? HIMG, because she's got to have that 3-hour stress test tomorrow. And I'm taking me a handful of tracks, folks. So if you go to HIMG and you see an Abundant Life Baptist track laying right there, that's because I put it there. And I even put them in the Bible. I'll even open up their Gideon Bibles because they do have Gideon Bibles down there. And I'll leave it open to John 3:16 and I'll underscore it with my pen. And I'll leave it open and I'll lay a gospel tract right there so the next person that comes in and they see that there, they'll pick it up and they'll read it if nothing else. Or they'll at least look at it. And they'll know that there's a bridge between us and the eternity. And that bridge, the gulf that's between there is filled by Jesus Christ and what He did for us. So the second thing, we need to believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What He was telling them, if you believe in me, then you believe in God the Father, and you believe in the Spirit of God the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And that's what He's saying there. Let not your heart be troubled. Folks, we shouldn't let our hearts be troubled. Sometimes we allow ourselves to become depressed and discouraged as Christians. We need to get over that. I catch myself doing it all the time, and I have to, when I look in the mirror and I look at my face in the mirror and I think, buddy, you look terrible. You ain't got nothing to be depressed about. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because you believe in God, then you believe also in Jesus Christ, and you've accepted the Spirit of God in your life. We have a habit of focusing on things we can't see, on the things that we can see, rather than those things we cannot see. So look beyond that mirror, folks. The next time you get up and look in the mirror, look beyond that mirror and try to picture the face of Jesus out there in eternity, standing up there saying, I paid the price for you. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid to go out into this world with a gospel tract. What are they going to do? I don't think they're going to bound your hands and crucify you. Jesus already did that. Most people, because of the trouble that they're going through in this world, and they don't have Jesus, will be more than happy to take a gospel tract. All you got to do is hand it to them, folks, and say, do me a favor. When you have time, would you please read this? Please read this. I'll never forget my dad, and I've used him as an example here multiple times, but I'll never forget. We'd stop at a gas station. He'd look at the person over on the other side of the pump, and he'd say, do you know the Lord? Well, here, let me give you something to read. God's simple plan of salvation. He carried that thing everywhere. I got the first one he probably ever had. I do. I got it at home. I found it through his stuff after he died from a little church down in Vero Beach, Florida, Bible Fellowship Church. That's the one he was saved in, and I still got that track. And I'm not letting go of that one. I'm not going to give that one to somebody because that's got some sentimental things to me. But we need to make sure that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy. And that's what he was saying. You know, Jesus was telling his disciples, don't focus on the now. Focus on spiritual things. Your now is an important part of your life because that's your ministry. But beyond that, don't let your heart be troubled because beyond the work that you have to do, you have eternity in my presence because where I go, there ye shall be also, he says. And the third thing I want to tell you this morning is we can trust everything that Jesus has said in his word. We can trust it all. Folks, the only truth that's left in this world is that Bible right there you've got in your hand. The Bible is the only truth that's left in this world. Notice in John 14, 2, that Jesus declared, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus never told a lie. God cannot lie. If God could lie, he is not God any longer. But he could not lie. We can trust everything that Jesus says in his word and what he tells us, we can know that it is a truth. We can trust what Jesus said because his word is from the Father's word. And the three are one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they do not lie. God's word does not lie. And you know who lies? We're the ones who are the liars. We're the ones who are liars. If we try to stand up and say, or sit down and say, I don't sin, I never sin, that's a lie. If you've never sinned before, that's your first one. Because we all sin, folks. The only difference between me and any unsaved, unrighteous, self-righteous person out there in this world is that I've got Jesus Christ in my life, and they don't. We need to hold on to that thought, folks. Don't let your heart be troubled. We can trust anything that Jesus says. John 14, verses 10 through 11. He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus performed miracles beyond anything we can ever imagine. Joe mentioned in Sunday school this morning, the last and great miracle that Jesus performed was he rose himself out of the dead. My goodness, folks, if he can do that, imagine what he could do with your life if you would just give it to him. Just say, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? And a little later on, Jesus said in John 14, 29, he said, and now I have told you before it comes to pass. He said, I gave you fair warning. Before it happens, I gave you warning before it even came to pass. Why? When it comes to pass, you'll know. So you'll know about it. So, but it's just, you know, there's so many wonderful things in this whole passage. This has always been one of my most favorite passages. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's enough room for every one of us. And more. There's more room in heaven, folks. Think of the people that's been saved way in ages past, who are now in the presence of God in heaven. Don't miss out on that. He's got a name. He's got a room up there with your name on it, folks. And make sure that your calling is sure, and that your walk with Jesus is what it should be. Life is always catching us by surprise, because we find it difficult to accept what the Scripture says sometimes about life in this present age. Peter said it in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange things has happened unto you. Believe me, when something happens in your life that you weren't aware of and it hits you right directly in the face, just comes up and punches you right in the face, and you didn't expect that to happen, it's no surprise to God. It wasn't a surprise to God. It's no surprise to him. It never is. He says, but rejoice. But rejoice. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. You know what? If somebody gets mad at you because you hand them a gospel tract, because you love them enough to want to see them go to heaven, and they get mad at you about that, rejoice in the fact that you were able to suffer for the cause of Christ because you handed somebody a gospel tract and you want to see them go to heaven after they leave this earth. And make sure, folks, that when you do that, you do it out of love. You know, I used to wonder, how can you turn the other cheek? Well, when you're doing something for Jesus and somebody persecute you as a result of that, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Especially if it's for the cause of Christ, because that's what Jesus told us to do. He said that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. What a reward you will get one day if you are able to suffer for the cause of Christ. What a privilege it would be for somebody to get mad at you because you tried to share Jesus with them. I mean, look at it as an honor. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, right? Jesus said, well, then you believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many, many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's not going to leave us on this earth throughout eternity, folks. Praise his name. I'm not going to live on this earth forever. You know what? My old house is going to burn down one day, and I'll be glad to sit up in heaven and watch it happen. You know, that's about how much we should think about the things on this earth. We got to live as if the afterwards has already come. Live for the now and share Jesus with as many possible people as you can, and don't give up on that. But the Bible makes it clear that this world will not be a friendly place, especially for the Christian and for those who are actually following and doing the best they can to represent Jesus Christ in this present age. It's a tough world out there. It is. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a long road to hoe. But you know what? We need to hoe it together right here. Those of us who are part of Abundant Life Baptist Church, we got a responsibility. We have a long road to hoe, and we need to start hoeing. And as we're hoeing, we got to keep our eyes on him. We need to do our best to know him and to make him known to as many possible people as we can. But until this life is over, we have the promise of John 14, 15 through 20. If ye love me, he says, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Aren't you thankful for that, that he promised that? And you remember, I told you the story before, and I'm sure you've read it yourself. But he goes on, I will come yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And if you go back over to John chapter 17, and you read verses 20 through 26, if you had time today, do that this afternoon. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. That's where Jesus is praying for you. For you. He prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for those of us who are here in the now. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ. Find out what he wants you to do. Find out what Jesus wants from you, and then follow. It's not a difficult thing. Follow Jesus. Do the right thing. It's not hard to do what's right. It's not, although we have a sinful nature. And we all know that all of us has had children. You don't have to teach them to do what's wrong because they have a sin nature. That comes naturally. We have to teach them to do what's right. So, folks, let's not let our hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And remember the reward that's afterwards. When your time on this earth is over, if you do the right things now, folks, there's not going to be nothing greater than Jesus receiving you into heaven in his presence and him looking at you and saying, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a wonderful day that will be. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us and give us. Lord, we ask, Father, this morning that you would look into our hearts. Father, as we prepare our hearts this morning to partake of the Lord's table, I pray, dear Father in heaven above, that we would do it with honor, giving glory to the one who told us to do this in remembrance of him. And Father, if there's one here today with a troubled heart, Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that you would work in that heart, that you would help them to know that they don't need the trouble. For the Lord Jesus Christ, him said, let not your heart be troubled. Father, may we bring our troubles to you. Lay them at the foot of Jesus. And let him handle them. So, Father, just in a special way this morning as we partake of your table, may Jesus be exalted and lifted up on high. First, in Christ's name I pray. Amen.